Kind of interesting.
You know what that is?
Sleepy Hollow?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Went over there myself one day.
Oh, you did?
Poked around. Just about like she did.
Oh. So... Was anybody over there?
Mm-hmm. No, they were gone. I believe a mother-in-law was there the day I was over there. I just looked around for a few minutes and wandered off.
Sounds, it looks simple, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like anybody could just go look at something and put it down on a piece of paper. She, has the right amount, good amount of skill in seeing things. As a girl. Yeah. You see things every day.
Well, it's about that time.
Sure is.
Well, I just picked that up from your address in the creek. If you're interested in it, you see, when they talk about Ms. Rollins or about fishing or whatever they talk about, you see, they don't even take notes.
Yeah, I was thinking while I was reading that I might try and put down a conversation I had with Dorsey the other afternoon. See what comes up.
Well, what they do, you know, you get into it a little at a time.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, your head.
What we call, you take it typewriter.
Yeah.
And, the way it works for me, I'm not as good as they are because my mind has too much of a focus. You take it to the typewriter, and you first...
Yeah.
First time you look at it on the typewriter, you see things start coming back to you. It's just involuntary. And they also take an order. You even get some of the transitions. And then you let it rest a while, you see. And sometime later, whenever you feel like it, that afternoon or the next morning, you see, you can do it again. And you can double what you put down. And somehow or other, you see, nobody knows how the mind works. I mean, you study psychology, but they don't know any more than anybody else. They know certain things, you see, but that's the way the mind works. It's, see, never knew that. No one ever showed me or taught me that. I don't think anybody knows it. And I thought, sure, the first time I saw something like this, I thought they'd taken notes or had.
What field is it?
Give me a glass of water. I haven't had any coffee. This is old breakfast coffee.
That's okay. I don't drink it.
That lasts me 2 days. It's cool.
What field do they do research in?
Where are you going, Faye?
I'm just
going
to get some water, guys.
Well, were you going out to the pump?
Well, I was just going to get it off the porch.
What'd you say, Jimmy?
I was curious to know what field they did research in.
How the hell do I know? They don't talk about that field. They come out here. I never know anything about that, anybody that comes out. When they come out here, they start talking about the tall grass.
Yeah, John's one of the few that loves the way the place is kept.
Yeah.
And appreciates it.
He likes it rough. But he doesn't keep his place rough. Up in Kentucky, he got a place up there. You see, his family place. Cookie came in yesterday with that trailer, and he came by up here late. I don't know why it took him so long to get over here. he was just grumbling. Now, what got him all upset?
As best I could see, he sat there and worked himself into it. He tried to...
Now tell me what happened. You see, you don't want to tell me what I want to know. I want to see through your eyes what happened.
Okay.
You see, nothing personal about it.
All right. He started building himself up, needling himself. To get himself angry, because he asked me if I had recovered any more of his belongings, and I told him that the dump had dumped over the stuff, and so he started working himself up, trying to build up some momentum over the thing, because he decided it wasn't resolved, that he had to be more aggravated again. So he started leading me back through the series of events that led to me getting there. And I suppose the thing that got him particularly riled was that I was attempting to feed him a little bit, but only enough to try and ease out his tension. In other words, I wasn't trying to just sit there and not say anything. I tried that a few minutes, but he kept needling himself, saying, "I just don't like that. I just don't like that." And he started saying that it wasn't right of you to let me go down there and go in the trailer. And so I tried to explain it in a light that took responsibility somewhat off of my shoulder. And didn't put it on anybody else's. In other words, I tried to tell him that perhaps there was just a misunderstanding on the grounds that you thought it was okay with him for me to go ahead in there, and yet you definitely told me, because Linda reminded me of this, and I told him that, to stack all his things in one spot and to bring them up to the house. And that I and my friend from Michigan, who was helping me haul things away, hadn't done that. And so that it was definitely my responsibility, and yet I was trying to explain to him exactly why I had to come up with the idea that that stuff was not valuable and some of it could be thrown away. And that, in my opinion, was that he hadn't been there in some time. Of course, I was still going somewhat on the story of Mr. Pearson, who gave me somewhat a different picture of Cookie than you did, and this was something I guess I never explained, but it was a part of why, I think, why I threw some of the things away anyway. Mr. Pearson painted me a picture of Cookie being a, a real old man who was not going to be coming around again, and who was extremely ill. And I don't say that he wrote that down in those exact words. I'm saying that's what I read from his story before I met you. And I think that's what led me to clean the place out. When I went in there and I looked through some of the old books and I looked at things and tried to guess when the last time he had been there was, before I started throwing things away, I didn't see things, any papers and stuff dated any newer than two or three or four years ago. And I think, I'm not trying to justify it, I'm trying to say this was the basis of why I acted. I didn't just go in there and pick the trailer up and shake it out. Although it looked like it, I decided to myself that it was okay to throw things away. But apparently the single most important aspect of my conversation with him yesterday was whether or not it was the lock on the trailer was broken or was open.
Hell, I told him I opened the trailer.
Yeah, well, he didn't.
I tried to get his key from him for a year or two, and he never would give me a key.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want anybody else up here. If there's anybody down there, I wanted to be able to go down there and see who it was.
And Guy said,
I told him.
He said he wasn't going.
I told him I opened the trailer for you.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't tell him I took an axe and opened it, but I told him I opened it.
And you told him what?
I don't keep anything to myself.
And
well,
he told him?
Everything comes open.
Cookie
comes
didn't portray it that way. Cookie made it sound like the trailer was open and you kind of looked to me just to go on in there and take care of it. I mean, I was simply trying to explain to him. He was starting to holler at me and rant and rave about the fact that I should have never been in there. And I said, well, Cookie, I want you to understand that I didn't just pull up one day and open the trailer and put my stuff in there and throw yours away and walk up and say, how you doing, guy, and say, I'm the new groom. And so he started portraying it like you had not been clear with him about me coming in there. And at that point, I decided to...
I wasn't clear with him because he didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Because he's off. And I didn't know when... I told his wife.
Right.
I said, we've got a flathead out here who wants to go over there in the trailer, and he looks like a pretty clean boy. And I didn't know when Cookie would come back.
Right. Well, see, that's all... I mean, that's...
I told him.
Yeah.
He
I'm
knows
sure
that.
You called, yeah. Well, see, this is why he wasn't using reason. He was just pulling things. I mean, it was just neurosis. He was just taking a pen and sticking himself in the behind so he could get upset because it makes him feel good to holler at things. And so he figured if he could use me as a pen and poke himself a few times, he would feel good and holler and rant and rave a little bit. He was mad then because you hadn't bought the trailer from him. That's what started the whole thing.
I tried to buy the trailer.
No, no. You wouldn't buy it. It wasn't good enough for you.
I tried to buy
it. You had to buy one for $1,500, and he was trying to sell you one for $750, but it wasn't good enough for Guy Miles.
Hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now, that's what I want to see, how he represents those things.
Uh-huh.
You see, I represent him the same to his face I do behind.
Yeah.
I talk to him straight. Now, he's coming over here after a while, and what I want him to come for is so I can talk to him straight. As long as he brings Franklin or somebody like that, I can't talk to him.
Yeah, I can understand why. However, Frank and I seem to manage okay together.
Franklin's good natured, and, unless...
Guy tried repeatedly to find out if he could get that trailer from Cookie. He'd a lot rather have paid $750 than
$1,500. Yeah, it's not worth $750. I think he got $200 or...
Thousands, what he said.
Didn't pay
that. That old ring?
Yeah.
One you're in?
No.
Oh,
well. No, he paid $800 for the green one, but
$1,000.
He
kept telling me he was going to bring it over here and never brought it.
The one from Williston that
yeah.
he just showed up?
Well, you see, I looked at it and it was a nice trailer, but I can't buy a trailer with a roof on it like that.
Yeah, I just didn't know what to say. He was, of course, trying to sell it to me, and not avidly. He's more interested in hooking it up, having it all hooked up.
Oh, he wanted $750 for the new one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, it might be worth it.
But he, I was completely aware of the fact. I remember you calling while I was sitting in here and telling his wife that you were taking me down there and we were going in the trailer.
Yeah.
And that he was gone.
Yeah.
And I started to tell him that, but it just didn't seem like there was any point. At that point, he had just worked himself into a sweat.
Now, let me tell you, Jimmy, you don't have to pay attention to this, but I've been studying the countryside for a long time. But since the fall of 68, I haven't done anything else. I've worked on them. I've studied them. I've worked with them. I've worked with them. I found out kind of how I get along with them, how to get along with them. And I write on it. I've had people out here, two or three at a time, you see, who were working on the same thing. So you fell into Dennis Eve. You're in the wrong hole. Now, you see, you say you can know some journalism, but you don't show it. You say you've got studied the psychology, but nothing has come out. You say you're interested in Cross Creek, but I haven't heard anything about Cross Creek or what you're going to do with it. You come to a place now where you produce. And I don't know any other place in Lightswood County like that. You want to raise some vegetables, but you haven't got it in the ground. You want to handle animals, but you never have time to handle them. And then you can't get squared away with Cookie. Cookie is very easy to work with. He is so easy that you can just do anything to Cookie. He's just like an old hound dog.
Did he come up here grumbling at me yesterday or at you?
Well, you see, he never grumbles at me.
Okay.
To my face.
Well, as far as I see on the grounds of Cookie, I have successfully maneuvered myself from being a punching bag to a possible cohort. I arranged to take off work yesterday afternoon and had him come pick me up, but he brought Frank with him.
Yeah. Well,
and
now
he changed his mind.
That's what you run into, and that's what I run into.
Right. Well, at any rate, I'm going to defend myself on the grounds that...
You don't have to defend yourself. Just say what happened.
Okay. You're not the target, as Laura Huxley says. I think that relations with Cookie are possible. Good relations, and I think yesterday when I was talking with him that I really didn't do anything other than handle him as best as could have been done. He was in a mood to rile himself up, and you apparently are aware of the fact that from time to time he likes to do that to himself. He likes to get mad and blow off steam.
I help him do it.
Well,
I go along with him.
I don't think I was trying to, I was trying to hold up a stop sign to him. I think I was trying to let him holler at me and step on me some as best I could. Now, I can't.
Yeah, just don't pay attention to it. Well, let me tell you,
the other part of what you're saying, it sounds like it is coming from both a real honest feeling on the grounds that I have been here for a couple weeks now and you hadn't seen anything, and yet it also it sounds like perhaps it's basis for helping you make a decision you want to make, and I'd rather help you make it without building
I'm not working up to any decision. I'm just trying to open up the thing. So just open it up. That's all I'm trying to do.
Jimmy, let me say something. You see, God's main concern is seeing people. It is, and it, we're not concerned with whether Cookie lies to us every time he opens his mouth. This isn't a concern of ours. Mm-hmm. We're trying to look at Cookie and see how. I expect him to try to jip us on every corner.
He brought that old cracker pony over here to plow with, but he won't bring me a harness that I can plow with. So what good does it do? He was in a great hurry to get that pony over here.
Well, you see, he never does anything he says he'll do. And the reason we've put up with him all along is that and he always misrepresents us to somebody else. You know, Cookie has to be the right one. This is most of the countryside, as we call the countryside.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of thing Faulkner writes about. It's the sort of, you know. So we don't judge or try to adjust to, you know, or have Cookie adjust to us. We know he's going to be as soft as velvet when he talks to us. Because in one word, Guy could get him and all of his stuff off his place, just like that. But Guy doesn't want to, but he can't keep from it.
It's so easy to knock them over. You have to be very careful.
The big injustice that I think we do to the cookies of the world is that we encourage him to do this sort of thing. He comes in here and blows pops off, and I encourage him to.
But mostly, Faye, when he comes down here, he's talking about himself.
Yeah, it's not somebody else. It's himself.
He's talking about his trading and his uh-huh. trips he makes uh-huh. and his tailors and all, and it's fascinating. Once you get into it. Now, I don't know. You see, when Cookie talks to me, he talks to me like a character in Faulkner. Part of that is my focus.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I can absorb what he has to say, and I can very light touch. I can direct it. I try not to. I try to let him go along. But it comes from practice. But see, I've been doing that for 28 years, just deliberately, you see. I mean, that's almost my business, is I handle 20 and 30 and 40 people at a time up there, and I make them go my route and look at the material they're reading, you see. I don't just go in and lecture. I proselyte. That's not the right word. I don't really proselyte, but I get them to go along with me. Some of them will, not all of them, certainly, where you're looking at the point of view. But now, you make your own choices, but. Cookie came up here grousing, and I found out from on the telephone this morning that it wasn't anything you did. Of course, he took Franklin along with him before he knew that you, before he even got to there, pick you up. And now this, let me tell you, this business about that stuff you threw away. He wants certain things. Well, it's such a small amount, I'd go down here to the damn place and pick it up and let him go down there with you. He'll go down there. And the one thing Cookie doesn't do, he's actually a pushover. He don't make it hard on anybody. Unless, I don't know, Faye, what it is.
Part of it is that he's been the underdog for so long.
Well, you see, I've never seen him in that light.
Well, we saw when he became Mr. Cook.
Oh, we've seen him, you see, since spring.
He was
69.
Always Cookie, you know, and then over at the campus when he was over there, when he became Mr. Cook, and this was a great thing in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know that this is what it is, but it's part of it. And the thing about it is, he can go out there and catch that horse when nobody else can. He can bring the horse
up.
He can do all those things. And on the other hand, he won't take care of them. Look at Little Man down there. See, he won't do anything to take care of them. But I never let myself dwell on that side, or else I'd, you know.
Oh, yeah, she'd run him off.
Run him off.
After 2 or 3 years, when he was, hell, he was bad health, and he had a, he went from one clinic to another, and it turned out, and he was desperate. He had such violent headaches, he'd take those big pills. And the way it turned out, the only thing wrong with him was an abscess tooth. Now, from the Veterans Hospital to the medical center to his own private doctor up at Jasper, and they never could find it. They found it when he went to South Carolina to that cheap clinic over there to have them all pulled out, and when they pulled them all out, they found this one was abscess enough to kill a horse. So a man who can live with something like that, you see, it's something, isn't it? Well,
we see
what
it.
I was...
Yeah.
See, just let me wind this up.
Yeah.
You see, I'm not trying to explain the cookie dough. I'm trying to move a little bit. I just get past it. He'd been very unsatisfactory to work with for the last couple of years, since he came back from that tuberculosis sanitarium in Tampa, where they took out one lung. And he's he pushes himself so that he's under weather most of the time, and he's sort of had a whining manner since then. He didn't have that before, but he's done so much out here. He almost underwrote the place. He and the little cookie got 6 children, you know, and the 2 big ones are causing him trouble. A lot of people's children caused them trouble, but they were, when they first came out here, they were a circus. I'm telling you, there were 2 big ones that get up on a horse, just stand up on a horse and just ride all over the place. Why, it's phenomenal.
See, I friends from town would come out, and then it would be the cookies that would do the entertainment.
Yeah.
So that's the under.
Yeah.
They would show them. You know.
And it's not so much the adults that I work with, you see, it's the younger people. They're the ones who are flexible and can shift. After they get a certain age, you see, they get a, what is
mind fix.
Rick called it, they get a mind fix. And you can't, now he was right adjustable this morning. You see, he shifted when I jumped him,
mm-hmm.
and he laughed. Well, that's unusual. That's most unusual with, see, he's pretty far along as a technical man at the university, and so is she. But that's most unusual. You see, that comes from long conditioning. Well, his daughter's worked with Faye at the piano, and he's been out here several times. So, but you don't, you can't count on that. See, what this place is good for, I don't permit anyone to come out here twice who regard it as a park or as a pretty place. It's a place to work. I don't care what to work at, but it's got to be visible. It's some contribution to the country, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether I've made that clear to you or not. I tried to, but it takes a little time to make it clear. Now, if you want to follow your journalism, all right, your psychology, all right, your automobile, all right, your horses, all right, your planning, all right, you can follow almost anything, but it can't be a park. And it can't be a pleasure house. And Cookie can get straight in 5 minutes. And I can straighten him out. I can talk to him straight.
Mm-hmm.
I can straighten him out. And you can follow my cue. You can't follow his cue, you follow my cue. But you gotta look for it. And I don't always know what it is. You see, I don't know. You never worked with me. I don't bother anybody. I can keep things going pretty straight with a minimum of effort of, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he got more sense than I have. And he's done things that I never dreamed of doing. Now, the one thing that interested me about him when he came out here was that he had had contacts at the creek. Well, the university is such a big shot now, they can't deal with Ms. Rawlins. They got to deal with international characters. So that's all gone. There's nobody left, so far as I know. I haven't found anyone who sponsored it anymore. I haven't found it. But a person can do it himself. If you don't know it already, you find out. Find out what's happened to all those people and what they're doing, and let them talk and set it down. Those things I gave you here the other night, very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another way of going about it. It's a way that you didn't learn because your professor didn't know it. That's what we've learned out here. You can listen to this talk out here and go to the typewriter and set it down. Pure talk, you see, is a little bit tedious, but when you're doing something, it makes it a little bit simpler. You see, they're all doing something in those things that you read.
Mm-hmm. That's why you said racking up the bait or something.
Good. Nobody has ever handled that racking up the bait. Nobody that I know of. Nobody. If you have access to old, you see, you got to consider that you are fairly literate. I haven't seen any evidence of it, but you seem to be. You got access over there that I don't have. You see, once I get over there, they quit. Because you see, I've got that university label on me. But I've gone along with people over there in the creek, various ones, not the ones that you know. And I could write a book about them. I'm not going to write a book about them that they don't know about. I've got three of them in there. There's one on the ceiling, ready for the printer. And I don't have. He's pretty close to the countryside. That last part there about Mr. Neal in the West, the last three chapters.
And he helped to write it, Mr. Neal.
Oh yes, he helped to do it. Now you see, if I had someone to work with Cookie, Cookie would work with him. He's ready to do that. And I'd write a book about Cookie. I mean, the things he's done are just phenomenal. You just wouldn't believe all the things that he's done. You just wouldn't. So many of them you can't put down on paper. You can't make public. So many of them.
And you don't have to be concerned about names, Jimmy. This bothers a little bit. Just a minute. You know, if you were talking about writing.
I just agreed with you, Faye. I said, no.
Yeah. You know, don't use the regular names. You know, you're not.
But the things that we are interested, or people be interested in, they tell them.
Sure.
I've only been over there at Dorsey's one time. I stayed a half an hour because the boy was sick and Dorsey had a headache. I think he'd also been drinking a little bit too much. And he stood there and talked to me, just like he'd known me forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't go back and do that. You see, he gets my number. If I'm just a neighbor, he'll do it. But if he figures I'm going to use it, I don't have the energy to do it. You see.
I know.
I don't have the energy to do it. I could do it, but I got too many irons in the fire.
And they don't consider it a compliment, and it really is a compliment.
It's a compliment.
They think that they're that interesting.
But see, and Dorsey's one of the most interesting. And furthermore, Leonard knows all about him. And, you don't want to spend your time doing that. It wouldn't hurt you to do some of it. Once you do a little of it, it comes pretty easy. You have to type, take it to the typewriter. Process, we worked it out. And it's there's nothing really laborious about it.
We have some good fun sessions with people over at Milford and Gainesville and everybody around here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more fun
I've sat in on a lot of classes. It's more forgiving, but it is, fun.
Now, you see, when we brought up that time about your intellectual history, about your journalism and psychology, you see, I don't talk I don't do any light talk. I was ready to listen to you, and I'd ready to hear what you had to say. You could say it a good bit, say in 15 minutes. But I still don't know what your experience was in journalism or in psychology. But you know. But the thing of it is, you've got to have an urge somewhere along the line what you do. I learned this long ago, but I'm just now putting it together. It's your contribution. It's your, you see, those little things that you've learned from your experience, that's your contribution to the, that's your, that's what you put in the kitty, you might say. And then the next fellow comes along and puts a little into it. And, you see, Mr. Eastman was over here this week. He just came up one afternoon, and we sat out there and talked an hour or two. And I found out, I didn't know this, but I found out that they called him when he was in New York State to find water. And he did it out there on several occasions. He just got to thinking about it. Well, I never knew he had that gift of finding water. And I've tried to get him up there ever since, but he needs a little audience, you see. If you were down there, you see, I could holler at you and that'd be a little extra audience. You don't have to say a word. Just look, just sit there and listen. Is the way they talk, you see. That's the way Cookie talks. That's the way he talks to me. I don't actually talk to him.
I've noticed.
He's the one that does the talking. Well, now, let me tell you, Jimmy, unless you and Cookie can get straightened out, I can straighten you out, but I don't know where you are. I don't know what you want out here. If you want what I think you want, you're in the wrong place. Unless you want to work at something out here. And
you pretty much think I don't want to work at something.
I haven't seen any evidence that you do.
Jimmy, you have to ask yourself the question.
It's up to you. I don't want to put you in anything.
Yeah, God's not trying to tell you what to do. You know,
I really
want to. But you don't want to be under illusions. You just may be interested in too many things to do anything out here.
That's right.
I mean, you have to just decide. Nobody wants you full time at all, but it's a kind of waste of the facilities out here for somebody not to use, because you're not going to find this chance. You're not going to find it. But we've had lots of young people out here. Lots of them have worked and stayed over a period of 10 years. And, they come and go. They go to school and they leave. But they all contribute something.
It could be, say, they have to see the countryside when I'm there to keep things straight. It could be. Maybe the countryside differs. Maybe some of them would be that way or some don't. Nobody I know, none of the young people have really got along with Cookie, except when they're here.
That's right. Because
you got to figure that.
Well, I
he
really.
He talks to different. He talks to the young, so.
Yeah.
He's not interested in the young.
No, he throws off on me a good bit.
Well, I see Cookie as least of the problems that, or the least of the problems you discussing here and wanting me to look at, because I think that providing this subsides, that it's okay. I think his and Linda was amazed when she met him because of the friendly manner that he came on to me with, that offering to help me with my truck. Yesterday he gave me a halter for a little man, but then he took it back because it had a piece broken in it. And quite frankly, the only thing that stands between Cookie and I getting along right now is for him to resolve out in his mind his feeling towards you and towards me going in down there and
me settling with him in some way. Of course, I was anxious to go with him yesterday to take off work because I thought that was an opportune time to help settle, square the score somewhat. It just didn't work out like that. I met him right there. I was right out here when he told me to meet him and came right out. And, of course, there just wasn't much for me to do. And he proceeded to, he wanted me to trade the car with him, but, of course, he wanted me to give him a trade I couldn't accept. Or he wanted to buy it for a lot less than I felt it was worth. So maybe all these things added to him drumming himself back up again. But I don't see it as something, I don't think that there's a, in other words, even during our conversation while he was working himself up yesterday, he was aware of the fact that it was necessary for him to channel his feeling in another direction because he was starting to accept me. You know, us being there together and the times we've talked, since the thing happened, he has taken a liking to me a little bit. And yesterday, I think he was attempting to find a way to put his unresolved anxiety in place so that he could proceed to be friends with me somewhat. Because that's my personal feeling that he's accepted. Now, as regards what you're saying before, I'm going to say that I understand completely your feelings, and I want to say only that I have had a great deal of anxiety over how it was going to work out. Now, immediately after, before I ever spent the first night, I had this situation occur, and then Cookie started telling me that he's going to be coming in at any time. I should expect him to unlock the door and hop in and take a nap for 8 hours at any time. And quite frankly, I've been scared to invest a whole lot of myself until I saw what was going to happen.
I don't
look at it. Well, another factor is that I'm ready to plant, but you don't plant in the middle of July when the sun's bearing down, at least from the farmers I've talked to, but
let me
ready
tell you,
to go.
The best farmer in this whole country has been planting in July.
Yeah. Well, okay, now I checked with my friend Hoover, and he said I could plant 5 acres of peanuts or something like that.
Yes.
And I'm ready to act on planting some peanuts or something. But I think the biggest thing has just been I wanted to see what was going to happen down here. Perhaps the biggest thing that's hounded me in my short time is that I have in the past had so many irons in the fire that I just burn my hands and don't get anything branded. And I don't want to do it again. I don't want to start plowing 5 acres and Cookie starts coming to bed with me 4 times a week and I can't do any studying, I can't do any writing, I just haven't known. But that afternoon that we sat in here at the table and I had to plead with him to give me a key to get in to where all my stuff was locked up, he makes it clear that I know to expect him at any hour of the morning, day, noon, or night. And Linda says, well, my Lord, I don't know if I can live with that. I mean, what in the world? And I, she just says, you just better hang on a little bit and watch it. And I say to myself that the last thing I want is to start some projects with you and then find out that I don't have anywhere to sleep at night. So I started considering some other possibilities, like finding another place to stay so that, in fact, just so that there could be, Cookie could be circumvented if necessary, if it was going to take him a while to cool off. Because I saw immediately what your attachment to Cookie is. I think I saw quite clearly. I see quite clearly what it is. And so I started thinking that perhaps, I should reconsider what's important to me because... actually, I came out here with several things that were important to me. One was a desire to do some farming, to have a place to stick some animals and watch them grow up. The other was a place to have to sleep.
Now look at that beauty. I don't know why he doesn't come back, Faye. That's that blue jay. He don't come. Yeah, no. That's what I put that out for, so I can see that handsome fella. basement up there and look yourself.
Yeah. I mean,
and cookies gonna come in the middle of that.
Well, now I didn't, but I didn't know since then. Of course, he's been gone. But, you know, I just didn't know exactly how settled, I mean, a man's got to have, you know, a little retreat before he can do any work. And, of course, at the same time, I was starting school in Gainesville, getting a new quarter underway, although I don't have many hours. So I felt like it was not a question that I had so many things going. It's just that I'm determined that what I do get going is a project I can finish. And you're exactly right when you tell me to look hard at my priorities and examine them. And I've been trying to do that, and I've just been waiting to see how the smoke was going to clear.
You've always had too many irons in the fire.
That's right. It's been a problem. I grew up in a family that was handling a lot of irons and handling them well. And being the youngest one, I got it in my head that I could handle them just as well as they could because I was a member of their family. And so I started at a young age trying to handle a lot of them, and I got burned. And it hadn't been easy to accept the burn.
How would you get burned with all the irons in the fire?
Well, because I thought that I had enough experience to pick them up and handle them.
Well, you had a newspaper in the fourth grade.
Yeah, that I did all right with. I didn't do such a bad job of being an editor of the paper my first year out there. But then I decided to go into business. Four times in 1 year I decided to go into business. I wasn't very successful, obviously. The last one there was a chance, but that wasn't my doing. I was just being ushered along because somebody felt sorry for me. And that didn't do a whole lot for me anyway. At any rate.
Oh, you mean after you weren't in school when you were in business?
No. I stopped school because I wanted to do something that brought some quicker satisfaction, some quicker credit and acclaim to myself.
Yeah.
School was too long. I was going to be there 3 or 4 or 5 more years before I had the skills to produce anything.
Yeah.
But I saw that I could start a business in 2 or 3 months and be outstanding for being 19 or 20 years old and running a business. And it didn't look so hard. But it was. And so
Well, who was carrying you along in your business?
Well, I carried myself somewhat.
You said somebody was...
Somebody came along, a friend's father that I grew up with, came in and after I had opened and closed 3 of them, and he set me up in the 4th one.
The
mm-hmm. 4th business. The only one that didn't fail.
This is the sort of thing is to look at these priorities.
Well, now let me tell you, Jimmy. On this, what you've just said now about having so many irons in the fire when you're growing up. There's no content in what you said.
You're right.
You just repeated the statement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now something got to be done about that. Now, that's what I learned from cooking the countryside. You don't even have to make a statement, just start with a case. And the case will work it out for you.
I started the shoe store, would be a case. Or I got in the fish market, would be a case. And that's what Cookie would do.
That's what he does. That's what I've learned from him. That's the mentality. That's the one mentality of his that I have been able to use. Well, his trading and all, it's phenomenal what he does. Now, he gets crossed up, but he never gets crossed up with me. I've learned how to sidestep it. And partly because I'm older than he is and farther along than he is, and I can make money where he can't. But I never let him know that. I mean, when I talk to him, he always wins. So I'm not puffing or popping off, you see. But that's what I learned from him, from the countryside. That talk is always informative. It comes from that experience. And somewhere along the line, they have got the faculties to report on it. That talk is worth listening to. And that's what you don't get, that's what you lose in the school business.
Mm-hmm. It's never a general statement.
If you ever had it, you lose it in school. So, actually, you see, from Cookie, you can pick up some of those things that were in the old culture. It's lost. Just lost. You see, no one talks well anymore. Really.
But this, Jimmy, shouldn't, what Guy's talking about now, and I see it so clearly, it shouldn't quieten you.
No.
You know, you never want to get to the point, I better not open my mouth.
Oh, he's not going to do that, is he?
Yes, he is. And this is what happens.
I'm just trying to pass it off, babe.
Yeah.
And you push it back on me.
Wait, I'm talking
you won't
to
let
Jimmy.
Me push it off.
I'm talking to Jimmy. Just don't, just rear back and keep talking. It's the only thing you can do.
Well, in this particular instance, the reason that I held my tongue is that I didn't want to stir up any more fire between the two of you. I'm not clear. You know, I saw myself in a precarious situation where if I angered him to the point that he came and angered you, you said, hit the road. I don't need you that much. Well, this is the distinct feeling that I've had for the whole 2 weeks I've been here.
I've never put any pressure on you.
Well, I didn't say that you did, but this is just the feeling that I had because, and of course, I'm down there in his trailer.
You see, the one thing, well, look at my trailer. You see, the one thing that you can't learn from Cookie, you see, the one thing that education does for you is enables you to listen.
Yeah.
He can't listen. Mm-hmm. He can talk, but he can't listen.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all I've done is listen. You don't have to tell me twice. I didn't catch on. Well, let me tell you, I didn't mean to break your. That's just you can see. You can see how it is. But it takes a little while to get into it. But it has to be business. It has to be business. The whole thing is a business operation.
Yes.
If you're talking about psychology, it's your business right at that moment. If you're talking or doing, it's all the same.
That's right.
Do you type?
No.
Well, you see, this is the thing.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You don't
want
to.
Yeah, I know.
But see, what I hate to see, it cuts him off from all that rich stuff that he's picked up over the notes.
Well, you started to inspire some of that. I have a typewriter. It's not that I'm completely cut off from the idea, but I was trying to. I guess I didn't put any content in it. I would like, and I have enjoyed the little bit of inspiration I started to feel from you, from talking to you, from reading that paper yesterday. I gained a little bit of confidence in the fact that I don't have to be able to put down a polished piece of work the first time.
Yes.
And so I toyed with the idea last night of starting, of writing it down, putting some things down. And I'm sure you'd like to see, I wish you'd put it down last night. And perhaps tonight it'll get put down.
Well, now you see, you can pick up, you can talk about your blunders.
Yeah.
Here are these blunders with Cookie. Everything you can't get straightened out. Well, put them down. I mean, that's interesting. I wouldn't waste time over that. But I don't know what you'd waste time over. You
well,
see,
you can see it a lot better if you
put
it down.
Certainly.
That's right. You can see it better.
And the chips, I mean, everything sort of falls in.
Cookie has a... All the countryside have a great comic sense. Miss, one of the people over there knows Louise Graham over there, and she married Whitey, and this boy of hers, who's quite a card, he's a card. He stood as long as he could, and he went over to the cemetery and got his daddy's tombstone and took it over there and set it outside their bedroom. I mean, the world is not dull. I mean, you've got quite a world, if you can see it. And Cookie's world is like that. Oh, Lord, if you could just hear some of the foolishness that he's... It's not foolishness. It's you see, they never quip. They never joke. Oh, they got that sense of that prolonged joking.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. It's abominable.
Right. The serious part is much, much more humorous.
But they are informative, and their information comes from their experience. And it's once you see that, and once you stay within their experience, oh, it's a world.
Jimmy, can you rustle up a few plates in a skillet or two,
mm-hmm,
and give it to Cookie?
Just as a token.
This is a token.
There's a second. There's a used furniture place down there. Go down there and buy him a jukebox or something. Just as a token, you see.
Okay.
I haven't got it. I've got this old van I don't want, but it's heavy. It won't go anywhere. You could have that. I just don't have anything that he wants, or you could have that.
I got something he might want. I have a brass old metal frame bed.
Yeah.
That could be sanded down and painted. He could even sell it for that matter and probably get $100 for it.
Yeah.
But it might be something that his wife would really like, which seems to be the one to...
Oh, I would.
Valuable.
I would.
Want.
If it's worth anything, I would.
Yeah. Let me tell you, on your, everybody knows what goes down that corner. So, you see, when Linda's over here, you better make it businesslike. And I'd be outdoors and gardening and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They all know about it. They may not say anything to you about it, but they all know.
It's a kind of traditional place.
It passes fast, you see. If you're riding a horse, they say Jimmy's over there riding a horse. I mean, you take that for granted. There's nothing.
Yeah, Frank was telling me about shooting three shotgun blasts into the side of a car that was parked down there one night because they wouldn't leave. He asked them to leave.
Yeah.
So he shot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want Franklin down
there. No, I don't want Franklin. I don't want him even on the place if I could avoid it. He's dangerous. What I want to do is get that gate moved down here where you won't have any of that parking.
Yeah.
And so, Faye, I didn't mean to worry him over, but he seems to not have any...
Jimmy needs to talk. He needs to talk things out and feel free to come up and talk things out that's on his mind.
Well, you don't have to talk things out. Just talk. Ahead and say what's going on.
Because
what the hell is going on here?
He doesn't want to get involved in something he can't see through.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to tell you what to do, for goodness sakes. And if we didn't think that you had possibilities and were interested, we wouldn't be interested in you.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I mean, we'd say, oh, well, Jimmy, you know, he's a nice kid.
Yeah, he's got a lot of nice kids. Well, that's one of my old friends used to say. Look at all these talented people. Yes, he said, but there are a lot of talented people. They don't make much of it. that took the bunch that I blew.
Yeah, if you, I think it would be pretty good dividend to you if you get that typewriter out.
Mm-hmm. What,
you can hunt and pick.
Yeah,
like that. Said he'd come over. I told him I had some business to talk with him. One thing, I want to get that horse going, you see. He got the harness. He just doesn't have the right size collar. I'll just sit down here and find out.
For a little man?
No.
Oh, the plow, yeah.
Who would have a collar, horse collar in Ocala?
Okay. What was the western place you suggested?
Jim Harvey?
No, Nelson.
Jim Nelson?
Jim.
Yeah, they would.
They wouldn't have it, would they?
Yeah, they might.
But here comes Cookie.
Yeah, I heard him hammering over.
Now you go out that way so he can't see you. Go out there.
Well, he knows you're here because of your car.
That's not going to hurry.
Okay.
Yeah.